Now turn to part four. You'll hear part of a radio program in which two people, Jim and Sue, are discussing physical exercise. For questions 23 to 28, decide whether the opinions are expressed by only one of the speakers or whether the speakers agree. Write J for Jim, S for Sue, or B for both where they agree. You now have 30 seconds in which to look at part four.
Have you seen the latest statistics about the high percentage of people in Britain and the United States who are failing to take enough exercise, presumably because of their increasingly sedentary lifestyles, being office-bound during the day, stuck behind the wheel of a car, and then lounging on the sofa in front of the telly in the evening? Worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that report, Jim. But I also read some figures about the amazing way gyms and exercise clubs are springing up across the country, which surely suggests that we must be getting fitter as a nation. That's rather encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it certainly would be if it were true. I'm inclined to think these centres are springing up, as you say, to cash in on mankind's gullibility.
Are you saying that people fall for all the latest pronouncements by the TV gurus on diet, exercise, vitamin and herbal supplements, etc.?
No, that's not what I meant, although that's certainly true for a large section of the population. No, I was thinking about the way most people realise deep down that taking more exercise would be beneficial, and so they make the effort to join a gym or start an exercise programme with every intention of making it a part of their lives. But it's just too hard. The workload or demands from family and friends intervene, and after a few weeks, they're right back to square one.
Not everyone gives up, Jim. But I take the point that there's a lot to squeeze into the average day, especially as more and more people commute long distances to work. I wonder if motivation has a part to play here.
In the way that people have to seriously want to get fit or it won't work?
That undoubtedly helps, of course. I was thinking more about group motivation. If you're going to run by yourself every morning, it's all too easy to talk yourself out of it if it's drizzling or you're feeling a bit below par. While if there are a number of friends running together or going to the gym at set times, you have peer group support to keep you going and give you a pat on the back when you've achieved something.
And looking at the other side of the coin, it's less easy to bow out because you have to face the disapproval of other members of the group.
We've been talking about exercise as something which is done in the increasing leisure time we're supposed to be enjoying now, so it has to involve an element of choice. What about exercise as part of the daily work routine?
Well, do you mean jobs which involve a lot of physical labour, such as farming, or are you thinking of employers insisting that their workforce does an exercise session once or twice a day?
I was thinking more of the latter. It's a way of breaking up the day, toning you up and preventing some of the problems which can occur when sitting too long in one position, as well as the drowsiness, of course.
I'm sure there are obvious advantages for the bosses in terms of increased work output. Maybe I'm just too much of an individualist. I couldn't endure the idea of enforced physical activity. It sounds too much like school to me. On the other hand, companies making sports facilities, gyms, pools, etc., available to their staff in their lunch hour or before and after work seems less authoritarian and therefore more appealing.
Aren't we back to the old problem of still having to make a personal commitment to using the facilities and then trying to stick to it?
It's a vicious circle, you mean? I suppose that's so. A bit like a running track, then.
Very apt.
Now you'll hear part four again.
Have you seen the latest statistics about the high percentage of people in Britain and the United States who are failing to take enough exercise, presumably because of their increasingly sedentary lifestyles, being office-bound during the day, stuck behind the wheel of a car, and then lounging on the sofa in front of the telly in the evening? Worrying, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that report, Jim. But I also read some figures about the amazing way gyms and exercise clubs are springing up across the country, which surely suggests that we must be getting fitter as a nation. That's rather encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it certainly would be if it were true. I'm inclined to think these centres are springing up, as you say, to cash in on mankind's gullibility.
Are you saying that people fall for all the latest pronouncements by the TV gurus on diet, exercise, vitamin and herbal supplements, etc.?
No, that's not what I meant, although that's certainly true for a large section of the population. No, I was thinking about the way most people realise deep down that taking more exercise would be beneficial, and so they make the effort to join a gym or start an exercise programme with every intention of making it a part of their lives. But it's just too hard. The workload or demands from family and friends intervene, and after a few weeks, they're right back to square one.
Not everyone gives up, Jim. But I take the point that there's a lot to squeeze into the average day, especially as more and more people commute long distances to work. I wonder if motivation has a part to play here.
In the way that people have to seriously want to get fit or it won't work?
That undoubtedly helps, of course. I was thinking more about group motivation. If you're going to run by yourself every morning, it's all too easy to talk yourself out of it if it's drizzling or you're feeling a bit below par. While if there are a number of friends running together or going to the gym at set times, you have peer group support to keep you going and give you a pat on the back when you've achieved something.
And looking at the other side of the coin, it's less easy to bow out because you have to face the disapproval of other members of the group.
We've been talking about exercise as something which is done in the increasing leisure time we're supposed to be enjoying now, so it has to involve an element of choice. What about exercise as part of the daily work routine?
Or do you mean jobs which involve a lot of physical labour, such as farming, or are you thinking of employers insisting that their workforce does an exercise session once or twice a day?
I was thinking more of the latter. It's a way of breaking up the day, toning you up and preventing some of the problems which can occur when sitting too long in one position, as well as the drowsiness, of course.
I'm sure there are obvious advantages for the bosses in terms of increased work output, but maybe I'm just too much of an individualist. I couldn't endure the idea of enforced physical activity. It sounds too much like school to me. On the other hand, companies making sports facilities, gyms, pools, etc., available to their staff in their lunch hour or before and after work seems less authoritarian and therefore more appealing.
Aren't we back to the old problem of still having to make a personal commitment to using the facilities and then trying to stick to it?
It's a vicious circle, you mean? I suppose that's so. A bit like a running track, then.
Very apt.
That's the end of part four. There'll now be a pause of 5 minutes for you to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. That's the end of the test. Please stop now. Your supervisor will now collect all the question papers and answer sheets.